whether you know him or not, this is Larry Clements. And if you don't know him and his lovely wife, you need to meet them. They are great people. So let's welcome Larry.
Thank you, Mark. Good evening, everyone. When Billy approached me about 3 weeks ago about this, I almost turned him down. And I prayed about it, and I said, this is not about me. It's about what God can do through me. And I hope what I share with y'all tonight will help you some way. And we've been at PBS, my wife and I, about 3.5 years. And we thank God has called us this place to serve and worship. And we're no doubt about it. I'm going to share with you just a little bit about my life. I was raised in a Christian home. And I remember going to Bible school at a little church was on Glenn Miller Boulevard at the time called Mark MacDonald Baptist Church. But the only thing I remember about Bible school is eating the graham crackers and drinking the Kool-Aid. That's about all I remember. And as I got a little older, 10, 12-year-old, we moved next door to the Moore family. Billy Moore happened to be a great friend of mine, and his family was very involved in church, the Soda Park Baptist Church. And it's still here today. And they had what they call RAs back then. And I would go with him on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and we'd play volleyball, ping pong, softball. We'd play something. But, you know, God was speaking to me then, but I wasn't listening. And when I got 15-year-old, I got a job in a grocery store, making 80 cents an hour, big money. But there's an older gentleman worked in there. His name was Walt Callahan. He's gone to be the Lord now. And this man would preach to me daily about God and his love for, you know, what God loved us and you need Jesus as a Savior. And I heard this from this gentleman, but it never sunk in. I never did take it to heart because I was lost. I didn't have a Savior. And then I got a driver's license in 1963. I turned 16 years old. Never forget it. It was a thrill of my life. And on November 23rd of 1963, the day President Kennedy was assassinated, I got out of school and I'd come home and we had a 54 Dodge. And Mom said, Larry, take me to the grocery store over your colonial store. That's where Woodstock Furniture is now. I need some groceries. I said, I'll be tickled to death drive you over there, Mom. So we went to the store and on our way home, we was turning our driveway on Cave Spring Road. And me being an inexperienced driver, a gentleman tried to pass me on the left while I was turning, and he hit the back of our car. It flipped in the air and come back on its wheel in a ditch. It threw me out of the car. And my mom was still sitting where she was when I come to, because Billy Moore's dad was standing over me. He said, Larry, you okay? I said, I think I am. Check on Mom. We didn't go to the hospital. We went and checked out. But Mr. Moore called my dad, and he come down to the accident where it was, and the police found the gentleman up the road. He'd been drinking, and that's what caused the accident, the alcohol he had in his body. And he finally set up my dad with the money to pay for the vehicle that was damaged. You know, but God watched over me that day. I could have been killed in that accident. And I'm telling you, folks, if it killed me, I'd have spent eternity in a living hell. And I know that today. But God had other plans. When I got 20-year-old, on November the 5th, 1967, I got a notice that no mailman wanted to receive in the mail. It was a draft notice. It told me to report the draft board on December the 4th, 1967. And on that morning, my dad drove me up 4th Avenue. Miss Virginia Turpin was over the draft board. And she marched us across the street, across Broad Street, over the Greyhound bus station. We got on a big old bus headed to Atlanta. I'd never been away from home, didn't know what to expect. We got to Atlanta, we left there and went to a place called Fort Benning, Georgia, and in Columbus. And we got off that bus down there, and they was the meanest man I ever saw in my life. That man didn't know Jesus, I don't think. But I spent 6 months in the States. I was in Fort Ord, California for a while. I was at Fort Benning, and I went to Fort Knox. Then on Mother's Day, May of 1968, I left to go overseas. And I stayed over there 18 months, but there was two men that stuck out in my mind while I was in service. Louis Chacos, he's from Youngstown, Ohio, and Willie Bridwell from Bowden, Georgia. These two men, if we want to go out on the town, those guys stayed back. They'd go in there in the day room, play pool, ping pong. They'd do something, but they didn't want to go where we were going. And those two men still stick in my mind today, the influence they had on my life, because I was still lost and not saved at this time. These two men had an influence. So when I come home on I arrived home on November 14, 1969 from overseas. I had $300 in my pocket and no car and no job. But my dad said, son, there's a girl been calling the house. And we didn't have cell phones then. Had carrier pigeons, I think. But the person calling was my wife, Nellie. And I told her I didn't have a car. So I called her and she says, I'll come get you. Now, she had a 65 Mustang and a job with Southern Bell. Now, what else would I want in life but with a pretty woman in a car and riding around and spending her money? But there was still something missing in my life, and it was Christ. When me and her started dating December 1969, and I finally got a job and got a car, I could go to her house and see her. Every time I'd go to her home, though, I'd see her dad sitting over there reading his Bible. And then that just sticks in my mind even today. I can see him just sitting there, just treasuring God's word. And on Saturday, her mother would prepare a meal for Sunday because she had seven brothers and a sister. She'd come from a large family. And on Sunday, we would sit down at the meal. It's like going to Rise, like a buffet. There were so many to eat. And so we started dating, and something was still missing though in my life, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But on March 1970, I found the missing piece. It was on a Sunday morning at Lakeview Baptist Church. The Holy Spirit dealt with me. I got saved. And there's a verse that I look at quite a bit when I'm getting down and out. Or I read this verse. I will read it. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I looked for that verse a whole lot. There's been a lot of people over the years that's influenced my life. And there's still people today that encourage me, pray for me, and I thank every one of you for that. But I'm going to leave a thought with you tonight before I step down. Whose life are you going to influence and encourage? Just remember that in your prayers. Thank you.
We have coming to share with you now Von Stagg. I don't know how many of you know him that well. I got the privilege of getting to know him a little bit better last year when his lovely wife and Vaughn went on to Washington on a mission trip with us, and he is a hard worker, and he is one, when I think of him as I've gotten to know him, and this is something that I take cue from the way I was raised, but when I think of Vaughn, I think of a Southern gentleman. So let's all welcome Vaughn.
Well, thank you for that, but I feel like I'm far from a Southern gentleman. You know, when Billy first asked me to do this, I thought, oh, Billy, I can't do that. I don't speak good in front of people, and I really don't. So I went home that afternoon after church and walked around and prayed about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I prayed, I thought, you got to do this. You know, you got to tell your story. So here I am tonight. I grew up in Lindale, or what they call Boozville. And a lot of people know where Boozville is. At early age, I remember my grandmother carrying me to church. Of course, my mom carried me too. But always remember my grandparents because they went to the Church of God in Lindale. And I really remember my grandfather when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. I spent a lot of weekends with him. I spent the night with him. My grandmother worked second shift in the mill down there. She was still working at the time. And I remember my grandfather, before we went to bed every night, he said his prayers. It was, I never will forget that, how that they have just, I felt like over the years that my grandparents' prayers had helped me up. Well, to begin my story, I married early out of high school. And, you know, I worked hard. Thought my life was set like, you know, everybody else does. And everything went pretty good, you know. And good many years passed, still worked hard, trying to provide for your family. But in September 1980, I found myself going to church. When it came time for me to, for the altar call, I went down to the pastor. I prayed the words that he said after him to be saved. This was a very hard time in my life. I was going through a divorce. My emotions were running very high. I was caring for my son who had muscular dystrophy and two other children that a few years down the road that I found out that weren't mine. But I went to church a few times after this. I didn't really hardly go at all. I was sort of going my own way. I was more or less just thinking about me. But the next year in spring of 1981, I got a call at work that my son David had an accident. He had fell out of his electric wheelchair. He was so tickled when he got that electric wheelchair, you know, he could just go anywhere he wanted to, and then nobody had to push him around. But he had an accident, and he fell out of it. He was carried to the hospital. Really, all they could find wrong at the time was that he had a fractured leg. We carried him home, but I could tell there was sort of something else going on with him. He wasn't acting right. Well, several weeks later, we carried him back to the hospital. He'd had something wrong with his kidneys, and they couldn't figure out why he wasn't responding to medication or anything like that. But a lot of times when those children have problems like that, to have an accident or something, you know, it really does throw them for a loop. Well, it did him. He didn't get over this. He died. He was 12 years old. And it was hard, you know, looking back on that, you know, sometimes I wonder how in the world I ever got through that, you know. And it was really by God's grace that I did get through it, because I didn't go to church for a while. I mean, several years had passed. I started back to church, but not regular. This was about the time that I met Retha. And seemed like everything was going our way, you know. And it really was. It was going our way. We fell in love. We were married. We were married in a small church in Polk County. And her two children and her family were just wonderful to me. And I couldn't ask for anybody to be any better to me. I got something I want to read y'all that she wrote me our first Christmas together. It says, "As I was thinking of a gift that would last forever to give you on our first Christmas together, the thought of a Bible came to mind. I knew there was no better way to say I really love you than to give you the everlasting Word of God. The leather this Bible is covered with will someday vanish. The bindings that holds it together will disappear. The paper these words are printed on will be gone, but the words of this Bible will live forever in your heart. I don't think I could ask for anything better than that. That time we were going to church pretty regular, and in Rockmart. But I was really struggling with my faith, with my salvation. I didn't know really which way to turn. I started praying for answers. I mean, this went on a pretty good while, several months. And then one day I was walking along the creek there, pretty close to our house where we used to live. I was praying, I need to know God. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Or what's going on here? So I got my answer that afternoon. And I went to our interim pastor at the time. That next Sunday I was baptized. You see, I had to be sure of my salvation because I wasn't. Well, Ruth and me, we were teachers in our small church. I think she taught young girls and I taught 9 and 10 year old boys for several years there in our church. We had some problems to come in our church. It seemed as though the Spirit had just left. Some folks left our church. We stayed as long as we could, but we left too. It just couldn't stay anymore. Some years have passed, and we moved to Lindale, Booger Hollow Road. We visited several other churches, but somehow they just didn't seem to fit. Well, come February of 2015, me and Retha were at our barn, because I keep goats, and it was about that time of year for them to start having kids, babies. I think all of them were having at one time, seemed like it was 4 or 5. And Retha just had a double knee replacement, and we're up there at the barn. It was dark. All I had was a little light up there on the hill. And so she needs somewhere to sit. So I walked back down to the shop, and what it was, we had a chair up there, but it didn't have a bottom in it. So I went down to the shop and to see if I could find something, to make it work. And while I was there in the shop, this man opened up the door. And it just kind of startled me there for a minute. But it was Wilbur. I didn't know then who he was, but he told me, he said that he was from Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church and they were visiting. I said, okay. And he said, Pastor Phil's outside in his truck. So I walked out there, and it's dark, it's dark. Couldn't see him all that good. And talked with him a few minutes, and he invited us to church. So I think it was probably the next Sunday or maybe the next we came. This is such a Spirit-filled church. We felt so at home. Y'all were very friendly to us. I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. We're very appreciative the way that y'all have been to us. And we love all y'all. Well, we joined April the 1st. We're so excited about missions. Some trips we didn't get to go on. But we just love going on the few that we've been on, helping to people to rebuild their homes, church, whatever it may be. We love to help people that may not know Christ, or maybe they can see Christ in us. So, me and Ruth have talked about this a lot. You know, a lot of people get out and they go around and they travel around, try to find different churches that they feel like they're going to be comfortable in. And say, we found this church. But I say to y'all, Pleasant Valley South found us. And I know why. There's a Bible verse that I've kept over my truck. My work truck. It's not there anymore. Because I retired Friday. It was my last day to work for them. Anyway, I took all that stuff out of my truck, took all the notes and everything I had on my sun visor. And I saw this Bible verse. And sometimes I've had to repeat it quite often. And it's Psalms 103. 11 and 12. For as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And verse 12. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I've held on to that now for a very long time. It speaks a lot to me. It's taken almost a lifetime for me to realize, to be honest with myself and others, and most of all, be honest with God, to give him all the broken pieces of my life. And that's really all he wants, is for us and for me to surrender all to him. I can truly say that I am blessed. And yes, it was settled at the cross. I hold that close to my heart. Thank you.
Our next speaker is a man that I didn't get to know for a little while. I knew his wife. She sang with us in the choir for a while. But Kenneth is one that I always heard about because my wife and my kids would come in over on this end of the building, and I was always coming in on this end of the building. And they always told me about Kenneth and how friendly he was, and he always made a point to make my children feel welcome. And like I said, I'd heard a lot about him before I got to know him. But as a parent, it means a lot when your child comes home with a smile on his face talking about somebody who made a point to make him feel welcome. And so let's all welcome Kenneth Leroy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mark. Billy, I'm still wondering what I'm doing up here. And to prove that, look, I'm still wondering. I do have a couple of notes, but not pages. I'll try to be as brief as possible because I know it's the Super Bowl's on. I mean, you know. But I'd like to start by saying that me and Melly sat back here a minute ago trying to figure out just how long we've been a member of this church. I think it's 18, 20 years, something like that. Anna was in the fourth grade. And we came because of Upward Basketball. That's what got us here at this church. I spent most of my time here at the church. I may not know all of y'all because most of my time has been spent working with the youth, like Mark said. We've either been here or over there. And the last, I don't know, several years has been with the middle school kids. And I work at a middle school, so if I talk like a middle schooler, that's why. And also, I got to get this out of the way right quick, too. You're probably not going to hear any Greek or Latin come out of my mouth tonight. If you do, it'll be an accident. Even though my kids have looked at me like I am talking in Greek sometime, It won't be on purpose. But like I said, we've been here 18, 20 years. And when he asked me about doing my testimony, you know, I like to talk, but I don't like to talk about myself. I can stand up here and talk about what Billy's done or what Don's done or what Mark's done. I could talk about them all day long. But I don't like really talk about myself that much. I just never have. My wife will tell you that. I don't really like to get in front of people and talk about what, and I probably need to do more of it, talk about what God has done for me and how he's used me. But I don't, you know, I just don't want to come out like I'm bragging, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I want to share a quick testimony of my younger days. And then I really felt like God wanted me to share three different little short stories with you. I'm 57 years old. I don't ever remember a time that I wasn't in church. I mean, I've always in church. I was raised in downtown Silver Creek. If you don't know where that's at, where the train stops y'all at, and y'all, you know, get mad at the train for stopping, that's where I was raised, right across the road from the brick house with the brick wall in front of it. We had a post office. Before they moved the post office to the Rockmore Highway, it was setting over Silver Creek on pylons. And as a kid, I would catch crawfish, minnows, even fish sitting under the post office. So you don't get much downtown Silver Creek than that. I was raised in the Silver Creek Methodist Church. We walked to church when it was pretty on Sunday mornings. Me and my mom, my three brothers, we walked to church. And the biggest part about walking to church that I remember is, you know, we had to walk out in front of our parents. And my dad, he was real particular about how we walked. We'll be walking, and we had, you know, you don't want to be pigeon toed, son. Stick him left, put your feet out. Raise that back up. We walk to church. Because if we didn't, our dad would punch us in the back. Straighten that back up. So that's how what I remember in my younger days of walking to church. Sometimes we prayed for rain so we could ride to church. But anyway, I was raised in the Silver Creek Methodist Church, and we went there for many years. But I was saved actually in a little church between here and Aragon. It was Seney, Georgia. I don't know if y'all know where Seney, Georgia's at, but it's another little crossroads. I was saved in the church down there when I was around 13 years old. It was at a revival one night. And what was so cool about that was I went down to the altar and I felt like somebody beside me, and my dad was standing right beside me. So me and my dad were saved that same night. And I'd done really good as a Christian for 3 or 4 years. I mean, I done everything right until I got in about the 10th grade. And that's when I was in the band, we called it drum section. We didn't kind of classify ourselves as part of the band, but I was in the drum section. And I started doing some things I knew wasn't right. I kind of drifted away from God. And that went on for several years. And until I made good friends with a Methodist minister, his son. He was one of my best friends in high school. Well, I started going to his church, Lindell Methodist Church. And me and him kind of hung together. I also started dating his sister. So I was dating the Methodist preacher's sister, daughter, and going running around with his son. But I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And when my life actually turned back to God, when I kind of had to rededicate my life to God, was at a revival at a Methodist church. A guy by the name of Mark Rutland came and did a revival one week. And Sunday night he preached. I knew I should have went down. Monday he preached. I thought, you know, I still stepped back. Tuesday he preached. I still held back. Well, Wednesday, where I worked at, I went to Ed Milliken. I worked at his grocery store. And I told him I needed to go talk to Mark. And so he called, made me an appointment. I went over to the office at the church. Me and Mark Rutland sat in there, and we talked. And he listened to me, and he said, "Kenneth," he said, "I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You've got just enough religion to make you miserable." And I thought, man, he's right. And I thought, well, we know we're going to say a little prayer right here, and I'm not going to have to go down in front of everybody tonight. But no, it ain't what it worked out. He said, "You go home, you call all your friends, you call anybody you know, get them here tonight." And I did. Of course, most of my friends were people I worked with. And so that night, I went down to the altar, And lo and behold, half the people I worked with was at the altar with me. And it was a great revival. In fact, it actually went on for 2 weeks. That's how it went. Okay. Now, and that's basically, like I said, I've always been in church. But three things were, as a guy, 21 years old, I've always been a guy where I've got this. I knew God was there, and my wife can tell you she gets mad at me sometimes because I say, I got this, I can handle this. I know God's there, but I've got this. And I want to share three things. I could tell many things to where I didn't have it, but I want to give you three things right here, three little stories. Now, I'll be quick. Working at the middle school, I see all kind of kids from all different backgrounds. A few years back, this kid came into the sixth grade, this guy. He's kind of a short guy, real likable guy, the type guy that wanted to fit in with everybody, but kind of didn't fit in with everybody. I don't know if you know the type, I see him all the time. And I kind of befriend kids like that. I'm just kind of drawn to them. And so I kind of talked to this guy, kind of, encouraged him a little bit on stuff. But he's the type guy that if he's going to do something and it ain't going to be right, he's going to be the guy to get caught and get in trouble. And he did. He tried to fit in just all different kind of ways. One day he brought a pocket knife to school. Every kid's got a pocket knife. Well, he wanted to show his buddies his pocket knife. Well, he got caught with a pocket knife. One day he was going to the restroom, and we used to have these little wooden passes hanging outside the restroom. Well, he wanted to kind of show out in front of the bigger guy, so he jumped up and hit the sprinkler system. Water went everywhere. He got in trouble for that. Well, this young guy in the sixth grade, he started going to our youth group over here. And I knew him. I would talk to him some on Wednesday nights, and every Wednesday he'd be excited. He said, "You're going to be at church tonight?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to be there," because he loved to play. He loved to play. Well, one Wednesday night, we had a special speaker come, and it was mainly for the women, the girls, the ladies and women. And the guys, it was a woman's night that night. And so when it come time for the message, the guys got up and left and went back to where Bonnie Clark and Greg Clark Sunday School class is. And we had a special speaker that night too. And the classroom was full. The guy talked, and at the end of it, he got up and he said, gave an altar call, whatever. And I remember Benji saying, "Man, I didn't expect this." There's like five or six guys got up, went down front, and they took them out to the rooms to talk to them. So I was standing against the wall, just standing there, and I looked around, and there was this boy. And he was standing over there, and tears were running out his face. And I kept looking around, I thought, am I the only one seeing this? Is some of these other guys or girls going to go over and talk to him, some of these other adults? And I kept standing there, and thought, well, nobody's going, so I guess it's me. So I went over, got the young man, we went to the water room. And that night, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and ain't nothing I did, because I was scared to death, talking to a middle schooler. And ain't nothing I did, but I talked with him, and I know that night he was saved. I know for a fact, I ain't no doubt in my mind. That's one example of where I didn't have it. God had to do it. I was the farthest thing from my mind that night. Okay, the second little story. Our very first special needs prom, before we got with the Tim Tebow Foundation, it was on a Friday. We did the prom on Saturday that year. It was on a Friday, and I set up for the service over here on Sunday mornings in the gym. And I was over there, and Melly had been down getting some stuff to take to the Gilbert Center for the prom, and she just had walked out the door, and I always locked myself in. So I heard the door like that, and I thought, what did she forget? So I walked over there, and there was this guy standing out there. He said, "Hey," well, I didn't open the door right up. He said, "Are you a minister?" I said, "No." "Are you I forget what all he's trying to call me." I said, "No, I'm not." And then I recognized him. I remember him from being in the youth group several years back. So I opened the door up, and he came in. He said, "Hey," he said, "can you come talk to my buddy?" I said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, just come on out here and talk to him." So he's in the car down here. And as we was walking down to the car, he said, "He just got out of jail 3 months ago." And I thought, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. And so we walked down to the car, and the guy gets out of the car, and he does. He looks rough. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm going probably like this right here. But when he's talking to me, I just kind of let him talk. And he talks to him, and then when he gets through, he has some serious problems going on. And I thought, man, I'm not a counselor. I don't know what I'm doing. But when he gets through talking, I just kind of, in my mind, say, okay, God, you got this. And I started talking to him, and I could not tell you a word that I told him that day. But all I know is when I got through talking to him, he was crying, I was crying, and his buddy was crying. And we hugged each other and said a prayer. And I went back in and got him a Bible out of Benji's office and came and gave it to him. And we talked for a little while longer, and he went on. See, we don't ever know when things like that's going to come up. Because that ain't me. I don't even look for stuff like that. Okay. The third thing is where God has used my life, and I don't like talking about this stuff really, is in your family life. You know, I've raised three kids, two girls and a boy. And you know, I'm gonna try to hold together. You know, our kids, you know, when things not going right with them, when they're out doing things sometimes that, you know they shouldn't be doing, and some of it can be some pretty serious stuff, you know, what do you do? I hear preachers all the time, well, you turn that over to God. You let God do that. Where's your faith? You let God do that. That's easy said. I'm the guy, I got in control. I'm talking to him. I'm doing everything I can in my power to be in charge of what's going on in their lives. And you know, I reached a point one night, and I had never reached this point in my life. And I'm 57 years old. I've been in church all my life. I reached a point in my life that night to where I had to turn them over to God. That's the hardest thing I ever done in my life. I don't know why I did it that night, but I flipped on YouTube. And there's a song came on. I mean, I don't even miss it, but a song came on, and I know it's late. I'm sorry. But there's a song came on, and it's an old song. And I'm going to read one verse here. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. This had to come from God. That's what I needed that night. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If it weren't for his grace, I don't know where I'd been that night. If he hadn't showed me his love and his love for my kids, I don't know where I'd been that night. To show you, you don't know what's going to happen in these situations when you look back on them, I'm going to tell you right now, God took charge of my family life that night. Everything's back to normal as it can be. The guy that I talked to, they've been out of jail. The last I heard, he was still out of jail. And through a friend on Facebook, and I know Facebook, but you know, you keep up with things like that. But through a friend on Facebook, he's actually got back with his wife. It ain't nothing I did. Now here's the sad part. The little kid I talked to at the church over here that I know for a fact that he got saved that night, he's no longer with us. A year ago, tragic accident. He's no longer with us. I have not told that to anybody but Greg Clark's Sunday class. I don't even think I told that. I've not told that to anybody except the counselor at the high school. And when I did that, he said, man, I'm glad you told me, because one of his friends had been in my office worrying about his friend, and said, I relayed that story to him. I've not said that to anybody. Maybe I should, I don't know. But I just keep things to myself a lot, I know. But anyway, I'm gonna leave you one verse, and it's one that I've learned from the youth group. It's helped me tremendously with my own personal life, and I've used it to, you know, try to help people, other people to read this verse more often. And it's Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Because I'm not real strong sometimes, and I'm really not courageous sometimes. Do not be afraid. I'm scared to death sometimes. I was scared to death about getting up here tonight. Do not be discouraged. I get discouraged nearly every day about something. I mean, you know, these things come along every day that sometimes I'm thinking, you know, just why? Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I'm a living testimony that he is with you wherever you go. and he'll put situations in your life that you're not looking for. I wasn't looking for neither one of these things. You know, I was a happy-go-lucky guy. I had it in control. I mean, I knew what I wanted. I had my family in control. I had them right here in the palm of my hand. I knew what was going on. But I didn't. But anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to y'all. I got over my nervousness about halfway through that. But anyway, Billy, I appreciate it. And y'all just remember, God's in control.
Very quietly, very reverently, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You've heard from three men tonight that both of them were terrified to get up here and share, but God has used them. And God has shown us that if we are obedient to Him, He will use us to bring Him glory. And He's shown us that every one of us have a different testimony. You know, there may be some similarities, but our testimony is unique to us. And the Lord gives us opportunities on a regular basis to share our story of how we came to know Christ. And you have heard that tonight. And I just want to, I hardly ever do this, but I just feel led of the Lord to, you've heard these men, every one of them are so sure of their salvation. They don't have any doubt if their life were to end today, that they would be in the Lord's presence. And I want everyone here to know that tonight. So as you are there and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to examine your heart, I just want you to just consider where you are, where you stand with the Lord right now. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It says that if we will trust Him, if we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. And I just want to know tonight, and there's no one looking around except me and the Lord, I just want you, if you're here tonight and you say, you know, Brother Billy, I don't know that, and I don't know what would happen. Brother Larry said if he had got killed in that car wreck, he knows without a shadow of a doubt he would have been in hell and be there for all eternity. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm just going to ask you to just slip up your hand. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass you. But I'm going to pray for you, and the Lord's going to see your boldness in raising your hand. Does anyone here tonight say, Billy, I'm just not sure that I know Jesus is my Savior, and I just want you to pray for me. Anyone here? All right, according to that, we're all saved. We're all children of God. And God has given you a testimony. I hope you've been challenged tonight to share your testimony, to share your story with those around you. It is unique, and God can use it to draw people to you. We're going to have a time of invitation. And